Sovereign Grace Chapel, located at 135 Annabelle Lane in Beaver, West Virginia, invites you to listen to a gospel message concerning Jesus Christ our Lord. Follow along. I'll be in Romans chapter 8 to start with, and not verse 28, although it's still there, and I may mention it later. Romans chapter 8, I want to begin reading in verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, say that again, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. My title is The Love of God. Go figure from that text, right? In Christ. The love of God in Christ. That's my title, and here's what I got to say. The love of God is an inexhaustible subject. And the love of God is more than I can ever know. And it's more than you can ever know. And the love of God is more than I could ever say. The scripture writers and the songwriters are correct. The love of God is greater than any man's tongue can tell. So I might as well sit down, right? I can't tell you. Well, no, I can't tell you, but I can tell you what the scripture says. And I'm not going to sit down anyway. I don't have the words because there are no words that can actually relate it. There's no words to be able to teach a man about the love of God. You have to have experienced it to know just a little bit and to know what I'm going to talk about. Because what I have to say is from the scriptures. It's the only authority we have. I don't want to hear about your imaginings or my imaginings. I don't want to hear about the love of God, because chances are we're wrong. And even if we're not wrong, we're going to fall way, way short of what the truth actually is. The scripture tells us, and we'll get to it, God is love. The world wants to do the opposite. They want to say love is God. No, it ain't so. God is love. Love, man's imaginings of love is not the standard. Because this world, this religious world in particular, has it exactly backwards as usual. It's not that love is God, it's God is love. And you need to find out what love is by seeing who God is. But anyhow, he starts here in verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Wait a minute. I thought you said you were going to talk about the love of God. I am. The love of Christ is the love of God. Amen. Because Christ is God. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit, these three are one. They don't just think like they're one. They don't act in all agreement, and so they're considered. No, they are one.
I can't explain that either. And you can't explain it. But it's so. It's so.
Jesus Christ is God, but who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No.
That's what Paul tells us.
No. Nay. No one, nobody can separate us from the love of Christ. Now, does that include you? And me. Well, I'm a no one and I'm a nobody, so that includes me. Understand? You can't separate yourself from the love of Christ. No one, nobody. And also, he goes on, nothing, no thing can separate us from the love of Christ. Whatever you think of, it doesn't matter. No one and no thing can separate God's people from God. Not even you yourself. Here's the thing about the truth of salvation. You didn't get salvation. It was given to you. And you can't push it away because he's keeping you. And if he's not keeping you, it's because you're not saved. And that's as plain as I can say it. He keeps his people. The scripture is very, very clear. It's not up to you. It never was up to you. It's not up to me. And it never was up to me. And no one and nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. I like that. But also, I do want to notice who Paul is writing about here. He uses the word us, we, and us. I think he's talking about a particular people. He's talking about who he wrote this book to. Let's see. Just for the fun of it. Romans 1. Okay. Where is it? To all that be in Rome, here's the word, beloved.
Yeah.
Beloved of God. What? Called to be saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And who can separate us from him? The beloved of God. In his son, we'll get to that, you know, he's writing about the only ones who could possibly know anything about the love of God. Believers. Yeah. Believers. Saints. Called to be saints. Especially called as a reference to Romans 8 and verse 28. That is believers in Christ Jesus. It's written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. And for thy sake we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. That loved us. Oh my. Believers are the only ones to whom the love of God, the love of Christ is revealed. The world is going to look at it the wrong way. And they do every time. They go looking for love and think they're going to find God. They're not seeking God.
No. Right.
As he is.
Right.
As he is. Because believe it or not, even though God is love, there is more to God than love. There's holiness and righteousness and judgment and justice. And God is love. And God is love. And they all fit together in one supreme being that we naturally know absolutely nothing about. It has to be revealed. John tells us, this is in 1 John chapter 4, of course, verse 6. We, there we are again, we are of God. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. I like that. He that is not of God heareth not us. And isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth?
Walter, you were talking, I think it was on the TV today, about somebody read Romans 8:28. Just read it to them. Well, I don't believe it like that. The guy hadn't even talked about the scripture. He just read it. This is what the scriptures say. All things work together for God to those that love God, to those that are the called according to His purpose. I don't believe that. Well, you don't believe the Bible, which is what I knew to start with. Or I don't believe it that way. I'm sorry, I'll have to give you a different inflection or something. I can't change the words. I'm not going to change the words. People want to change the words all the time, but we're not going to get into that. He that knoweth God heareth us, and he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Why? If they won't hear the scriptures, that's the spirit of error. That's it. And if I'm reading the scriptures and you won't hear me, you're not of God. That's what it says. I mean, it's plain. I'm not making this stuff up. Beloved, let us love one another. Wow, here's a way to look at it. For love is of God. Love is from God. Not love is God. Love is of God. For God is love. In this was manifested, what? The love of God toward us. Toward believers, toward His children, toward the elect, toward those He chose in His Son. Because in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that, there's a purpose here, that we might live through Him. Through Him. How do we know God loves His people? He sent His Son. He sent His Son. And He sent His Son to live and to die and to be resurrected. He sent His Son to be the substitute. God will provide Himself a sacrifice. And God did provide Himself a sacrifice. I don't have to make a sacrifice. Mac, you don't have to make a sacrifice. Paul, you don't have to make a sacrifice. Paula, you don't. Nobody. God provided Himself a sacrifice. Oh my, that's glorious. God sent His Son, His only begotten Son. And the end purpose is this. That. What? We live through Him. We live through Jesus Christ. Verse 10 says, herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Goodness gracious. That's love. That's love, folks. That's God's love for us. In His Son. God's love is greater than man can know. I've already said that. I'm going to say it again. The love of God is greater than man can say. All we can say is this. God said, this is My beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Well pleased. Hear ye Him. What did Christ say? What has Christ told us in His Word? Now I'm going to give you four things about the love of God from the Scripture. This is what I got. There's more. And there's more on each and every one of these. But I'm only going to go so far. First thing I want to tell you about God's love. God's love is sovereign.
Amen.
You got to start there. I believe. Because if God's not sovereign, He's not God. And God's love is sovereign. And here's the thing about God's love being sovereign. This is what most people will not have. I don't know if you're watching this on TV or on streaming. And welcome to you people streaming. Here's the thing. God loves whom He pleases. And I don't know any other way to say that. Romans 9 and verses 11 through 13 tell us plainly. For the children, being not yet born, neither having any done any good or evil, for the purpose of God, according to election, might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. Now, most people would be really, really happy if Paul stopped right there. But he said this, as it is written, and it's written in the Old Testament, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Now, you people may have heard the same things I've heard. And I've heard people, preachers, from pulpits, try to explain this away. And that's exactly what they're trying to do. They're wanting to get rid of it. They'd have been really happy if it had never been put in there. And it wouldn't surprise me if that goofball Origen back in the old days took that verse out. Because they say, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I loved less. Okay. You can look at the Greek word. You can look it up online. Studylight.org is a wonderful resource for this. That word is hated. Yeah. It's not loved less. Jacob I have loved, Esau I have hated. That's what it says. And I'm going to tell you this. That's what it means.
Amen.
God is sovereign. He doesn't love everyone. He has never, ever said that he loves everyone. Preachers say that. It's a lie. But preachers say it. Here's the thing. God has mercy. God has love. God has loving kindness on whom he will.
Amen.
You can keep reading in verse in Romans chapter 9. Well, let's see. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. That's verse 13. 14 says, what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Yes, people say it all the time. God forbid. There is no unrighteousness with God. He told Moses, for he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. God's love is sovereign. He bestows it where he will. So then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth. It's of God that shows mercy.
Amen.
It's of God that shows love. Oh my. Go down to verse 18. Well, verse 17. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Now here's what he says. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth. He hardeneth. I gotta say something. God does not harden in love. You'll never hear that anywhere where it says God hardened his children. You will hear this. God chastises every son that he has. But here's the thing. That word chastisement, in the definition of it, is punishment with correction.
Amen. That's right.
It's not hardening. You don't want to be hardened. Look at Pharaoh's end. Look at the end of Pharaoh's army. He has mercy on whom he will, and whom he will, he hardens. Excuse me. I don't like bursting anyone's bubble. Well, okay, maybe some days I do like bursting people's bubble. But God doesn't love everyone. And the scripture has never said that. Too many preachers have said that. And it's not so. It's not so. It doesn't make me happy. It's just, this is the truth of God.
Amen.
And you're either going to stand with the truth of God, or you're not. Because no matter what the world says, no matter what preacher says, no matter what your mom and dad have said, brother, sister, anybody else, friend of yours, okay, there are vessels of wrath fitted for destruction. That's what it says. That's Romans chapter 9. That's why in most churches today, even most Baptist churches, you will not hear any sermons from Romans chapter 9. Because they don't like it. And at best, if they do talk about it, they're going to do their best to sweep it under the rug and explain it away. I'm not here to do that. God's love is sovereign. God's love is sovereign. He loves whom He will. And He is gracious to whom He loves. He shows His grace to those same people whom He will. Whom He will. The second thing, God's love is eternal. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 through 6. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. I like that. That we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. In love. In love. In love. Oh, I like that. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. According to the good pleasure of His will. I like that. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. In the Beloved. Oh my. We are going to be holy and without blame before Him in God's love. In Christ's love. Why? Because we are accepted in the Beloved. The Beloved. Oh, I like that. Well, maybe I should have made that one of my points. God's love is a blessing in Christ. Bless us with all spiritual blessings. God's love is a blessing. But this is my point here. God's love is eternal. You understand, not only did God love you before you were born, God loved you before there were people.
Amen.
That's another part of that God being sovereign stuff. God loved you before there were people. Before Adam, before Eve, we were what? Before the foundation of the world, chosen us in Christ. Oh my gosh. God's love is eternal. And He has made us accepted in the Beloved. We didn't deserve to be accepted. He made us. Understand, it is He that made us and not we ourselves. That's from the Psalms. Oh my, God's love was on His people, chosen in Christ Jesus before there were people. I wish I could lay hold of that. Really lay hold of that. Both Jeremiah and Paul wrote about being known of God, loved of God, in their mother's womb.
Yeah.
In their mother's womb. Before they were born. Ah. God's love is eternal. It has no beginning. It has no end. It's been in Christ since the beginning, since before the beginning, before the foundation of the world. God's love is eternal. This is not something new. God is not picking people as He goes along. That's what some people preach. No. God chose them in Christ. In love. In love. Oh, I like that. And we're going to be together with Christ in love. The love of God, the love of Christ.
God's love is sovereign, God's love is eternal. And here's the other thing, number three, God's love is infinite.
That's why we can't understand it. We are what is known as finite.
Compared to God, what is man? A red maggot, a worm, and no man. I am less than the small dust of the balance. You don't even bother cleaning it off because it's not going to change the balance whatsoever. It has no effect on anything whatsoever. That's us. That's us. But God's love is infinite. There is absolutely no end to the love of God. There is no, here's the other thing about it being infinite. There's no lack in the love of God. Nothing lacking.
Galatians 2 and verse 20 says this, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I. But Christ liveth in me,
amen.
In me, in you. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, what? Who loved me. How much did he love me? He gave himself for me. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, the church. It's Ephesians 5 and verse 25. God's love is infinite. There's no lack. There's no shortage. Titus 2 and 14 says, who gave himself for us in love that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. The scripture tells us that God is going to gather all of his people together to be with Christ.
Amen. That's right.
Understand what Paul wrote about that day coming? And he says those wonderful words at the end of it. And he says this, he says, and so shall we ever be with the Lord.
Amen.
Now I want to put two words on the end of that. In love.
Yeah.
In love. We are in the beloved. We are chosen in the beloved. We are brought into the beloved. We're his body.